Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBorough. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
This morning, we are going to continue the series that Trey has been leading us through called Bedtime Stories. But I must tell you, I have only read a bedtime story to a child a couple of times in my life. So I want to start this story like I would have heard it when I was a kid. It goes something like this. Once upon a time, in a faraway land. But before I begin the story, would you pray with me? God, may the meditations of my mouth, the meditations of each of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Hear this bedtime story as it is written from Matthew 22:33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruits. The tenants seized his servants, they beat him, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our sights. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held him as a prophet. The word of the Lord. I love history. I'm not very good at remembering dates or timelines, but I love the stories that emerge from it. Several years ago, I heard one of my favorite stories that I love to tell. And it may or may not be true. It may just be a legend about our 32nd president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It's been said that FDR, as he is so affectionately called, did not like the long lines, the long receiving lines at the state dinners. Nor did he think that the people really listened to a word he said as they came through the receiving line. So he decided that at the next state dinner, that he would do an experiment on each person coming through. He would say to them, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And much to his not surprise, they said nice things to him, like, "Congratulations, Mr. President. I'm so glad to meet you. God bless you, sir." Eventually, they got towards the end of the line where the ambassador of Bolivia came through the line. And this was the first time that his words were really heard. So he said to the ambassador, as he had done everyone before him, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And the ambassador replied, "Well, I guess she needed it, Lord." One thing that this story about FDR teaches us, it has nothing to do with our scripture, but it reiterates the first words that Jesus said to the leaders. When he invites those around him who have been questioning him all of this time to listen to another story, to not just hear it and let it go in one ear and out the other, but to actually listen to the words and to receive the words that were being said. So he begins, "Listen to another parable. I must be frank with you. Listening can be a difficult task, and it can be a struggle. This week, listening and hearing and meditating on these words from Jesus has been a great struggle for me. There are moments when we read scripture and the words that are spoken, they just make us uncomfortable, or they make you want to squirm in your chair. The text this week made me squirm. You see, one of the first questions that I tend to ask myself when I read any parable is, where am I in the story? It seems easier to answer this question in the parable of the lost son or the good Samaritan, or really many of the other parables. But this parable, it makes me uncomfortable. And the reason I think it makes me uncomfortable is because it tells me so much of a sinful nature of a human being. Or put differently, it tells me so much about myself. But before I can move further in the story, let me give you a little bit of context as to what's going on in this part of Matthew. At the beginning of this chapter, we find Jesus triumphantly entering into Jerusalem on a donkey. At this point, we know where this is headed. We know that by the end of the week, Jesus would be sentenced to death. We know that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the elders of the church have been looking for a way to get rid of this man because he was challenging everything they knew. He was inviting people who were ordinarily cast aside to not only be his guests, but to be his followers. But he was also challenging the law on which each of them relied. We know that Jesus went into the temple and he cleansed the temple, which not only was irritating, but it caused anger in the Sadducees and the Pharisees, leading them to ask the question of Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Jesus doesn't answer their question. Instead, he offers three parables. The first Trey spoke on last week, and this morning we find ourselves in the midst of the second. Once there was a vineyard that had been planted by its owner. Jesus doesn't move just beyond the fact that the owner planted a vineyard. He tells us what the owner did. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press for it, and built a watchtower. To those who were listening in the crowd that day, this told them that the owner genuinely cared about what happened to that vineyard. See, he had put a lot of effort and time and energy into caring and preparing for what would come next. And leasing the land came next. At first, when I read that he leased the land, I questioned why the owner would put in all of this work only to let someone else make sure that the land was taken care of. But according to scholars of that day, that is simply what was done. So he leases the land, and he goes away for a while. At this point in the story, it seems like all that Jesus is caring about is a vineyard. It almost seems like Jesus is reminding the Pharisees and Sadducees of the words from Isaiah, where Isaiah pretty much tells the story of the people of Israel through the analogy of a vineyard. But Jesus then turns his attention from the vineyard and the vines to the tenants. This is where the story gets messy. This is when it becomes one of the worst bedtime stories ever to tell your children. After the vineyard begins to produce its fruit, the owner sends people, his servants, to collect his share of the crop. Again, not uncommon during that time. The tenants, however, not only denied the owner his share, but they also hurt those that he sent to collect. So he sends more servants. And the tenants do the exact same thing. They deny the owner and hurt some and kill some of the servants. Then the owner decides to send his son to collect his share. The tenants decide that they will kill the son and collect the inheritance as well. Jesus then stops and he asks a question. Have you ever noticed how many times Jesus asks questions rather than just giving the answers? It's almost like he stops his teaching to ask those that are listening, that are really listening, a question, so as to give those who are really listening a chance to discern for themselves what it is that they have heard. So he asks them, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to the tenants? While the Pharisees and Sadducees are irritated and frustrated, they respond to the question by bringing the tenants to their end and giving the vineyard to someone else. Vindication. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the law, after all. Jesus follows their response with words from Psalm that almost foreshadows what is to come for him just days later. But Jesus never actually answers the question that he asked of the leaders of the church. He never answers the question of what will be done to the tenants. Instead, he tells us that the kingdom of God will be taken away from the tenants and given to a new people who will produce its fruit. See, this parable shows us many things. But one thing that stands out is the covenant that was made between the landowner and the tenant. A covenant is like a contract. When a tenant leases a piece of land, this contract would hold all of the rules and expectations of the tenant and the landowner. It's like when I moved here in July, when I went to rent an apartment, I signed a contract that said I would pay rent every month, and that they would fix things when they broke. While there may have been many other expectations of the tenants, a major expectation is that the landowner would receive his share. One would think that when the landowner received that first set of servants that he sent to collect his share and did not receive his share, that he would simply go and take away the land from the tenants. But instead, he offers those tenants a sense of grace. He tries again, and then he tries a third time, sending his very own son, thinking that they would respect him, only to be disappointed. The reality is that this parable isn't just about a landowner and its tenants. The parable is also about God and God's covenant with God's people, God's covenant with us. This covenant is more than just a contract, as stated, between the landowner and the tenants. It's a relationship. It's growing in our understanding of God and our ability to listen to God. It's knowing God and loving God and serving God. This covenantal relationship takes time and effort on our part. It takes the willingness to be vulnerable. And it takes the willingness to be honest with not just yourself, but with God. It means giving of our fruits, our gifts, to God. The question then comes back to my mind. Where am I in this story? I would love to say that I find myself simply in the vineyard, growing and producing the fruit that God has placed within me. But the reality is, it's probably more likely that I have played the role of the tenant. Maybe I didn't literally hurt or kill anyone, but so often I push against what God is asking of me. So often I let my fear stop me from being able to fully trust in the God of creation. So often I reject the cornerstone, which is Christ. Where are you in the story? Anne Lamott once wrote, "I do not understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are, and it does not leave us where it found us." It is in this covenantal relationship with God that we begin to recognize the grace that God has given us, that meets us where we are, but never leaves us as it found us. This parable is hard to hear, and it makes us uncomfortable. But it reminds us of our humanity, and it reminds us of our own brokenness and our need for God. This past week, we have seen a great amount of brokenness, but we have also seen a great amount of grace. At times, that grace has come in the form of protection, where someone literally put their body on another person to protect them. We have seen grace in people offering what they can to a fellow human being to help them survive. We have seen grace offered to each person in each caring and loving word. And maybe this morning, some of us are experiencing and seeing the grace that God has offered each of us through his Son. This man who tells this parable to people of the first century, who would become a living parable for us today. Once there was a vineyard, and thankfully, the vineyard still exists, and it still produces fruit, sometimes in spite of us. God still moves through us and offers us a grace that can't be considered cheap grace, but that can only be considered grace to the fullest extent, offered to each one of us at every day, at every minute. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for this grace, for the life that you've given us, for the fruits that you gifted us with. May we take them and go out into the world. Amen.